Welcome to TipTV Finance, where I'm joined by Ronnie Chopra, who is a market strategist at CJM Partners. How are you today, Ronnie?
Very good, Zach. And yourself?
Never felt better.
Good.
At this age. So we've got three different geographies to look at. We're going to start off with the United States of America. What's your view on that at the moment?
Well, the Dow Jones seems to be going from strength to strength and going against my thoughts. But
is that something you're upset about, or is that something you're surprised about?
A little bit. Well, I mean, it had a strong rally, didn't it, middle of last week when it went up 200 points. But before that, it had lost 500-600 points. So we're coming back to that 21,000 level where, again, I think things are looking a bit toppy, and we'll see what happens later on in Wall Street. But obviously on fundamentals, the Dow is at a PE of about 19. Historically, it's on a PE of about 13 or 14. So there's no justification in the current level, except maybe because interest rates are still very low and you've got to park your money somewhere. So equities seem to be the place to put your money.
But what about 15% tax rate and
billions? Well, is it going to go through? Is it all going to go through? You know, he hasn't got Obamacare through. How is he going to get the tax cuts through? If he does, then sure, then the Dow Jones will continue to rise sharply. But unfortunately, in his first 100 days, what has he actually done? Apart from he's also, I read yesterday, that he doesn't like his job. So if you don't like your job, you're probably going to give it up within the year. So maybe, you know, he's not even going to last for the next 12 months.
You heard it here before, actually.
And do you know what?
From me.
And then also, he said that he misses driving. He can't drive. So being the president of America, he doesn't have the freedom to drive his car.
Yeah, but at least he can play golf every weekend. I mean, that's something that not all of us can
do. That's true.
So you think the U.S. market's overvalued but not necessarily falling that much from these levels?
Well, I think, no, they could actually fall quite sharply. You've still got the whole geopolitical risk globally. You know, everyone knows about North Korea sending missiles to Japan. You've got unrest in South Africa now. There's going to be civil war there. You've got geopolitical problems between India and Pakistan. You've got problems in Venezuela. You know, there's a multitude of things that could erupt. But also, just with the markets at these levels, yeah, you have to, you know, we're in May as well, you know, sell in May, come back on St. Ledger's Day, you know, all that also adds to the whole mix.
Okay. The other thing, which is event risk, is Macron and Le Pen. The result due out on Sunday,
the 8th, isn't it?
So what is...
The 7th, yeah, sorry.
What's your view on that? Is that a done deal?
The markets seem to think that, don't they? Because I remember coming on your show a few weeks ago and was it Credit Suisse that said that if Le Pen were to win, the CAC could fall by 30%. There's still a small probability of Marine Le Pen getting in, very small, but you never know. But the markets with the CAC at the current level of, what is around the 5,300 level, 30% off that's one major crash. But it would never go down 30%, even if she did get in. Maybe 5, 10% max.
You might get an initial reaction on the day, and then it bounces back.
Yeah, I mean, she's also apparently moderating her views as well, isn't she? So that she can appeal to the larger general public, saying that she will not come out of the European Union and just becoming more of a centralist figure rather than a right-wing figure.
Well, defeats the purpose of the exercise, doesn't it?
Well, isn't that a bit like what Trump has done?
Yes, that also has defeated the purpose of the exercise. Okay, so any other areas that you want to talk about?
India. Yeah. I just came back from India, as you know, India and Dubai. The markets in India are still generally fairly positive. Demonetization is still a concern where the house prices have fallen considerably in the metropolitan cities like Delhi and Bombay. They're off 25-30% from levels seen a year ago. So obviously if that would happen in the UK or the US, there'd be a massive fall in consumer spending. Slightly different in India, whereby people generally don't take out mortgages, or not to the same extent as they do in the West. So consumer spending...
They have cash from under the mattress.
That's right. But that's what Modi has cut. You know, with the whole demonetization business, which occurred in November, all those notes that were of high denomination notes, 500 and 2,000 rupee notes, or 1,000 rupee notes, were limited. And people woke up the next morning thinking, oh dear, what's happened to all my money? Those in the know, obviously senior politicians knew about this months before, and large industrialists, they were the ones that weren't affected, and they're probably the ones that should have been affected. It was the common man, yourself and me, that unfortunately whatever few thousand of rupees, hundreds of pounds that we have, were wasted. But having said that, I mean, it's the point which Modi has made is good. You know, trying to cut out the black money and people using their cards, and there's more transparency in business transactions. Because going back to purchasing property in India, generally people pay a proportion in cash and a proportion in a cheque or a transfer. So now, with the eradication of a lot of black money, it should make for a smoother transition with house prices and with financial transactions. Transparency will be there.
You sure it wouldn't like be shooting the economy in the foot?
Well, initially, yes, but again, I read something a couple of weeks ago that when that occurred, it's basically a boost to the financial markets, because instead of people investing in properties, they'll invest in the equity markets or in funds. So that's supposed to have given a 5 to 10% boost to the equity markets, because those transactions are obviously done through the proper financial sources, the way of how things are done in the West. But my concern is with India is just that there's still too much corruption. People lie, especially in places like Delhi. Any transaction that's done, you've got to take it at face value.
Well, luckily they don't do that here in the United Kingdom.
Oh, of course, that's right. They don't do that. But gradually, with the new minister in UP, Yogi Adinath, who I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, who was basically trying to, you know, clean the mess in UP. He's doing a good job in that he's getting rid of the corrupt practices whereby people that have factories and industries aren't having to pay off as many officials. So that's a good thing, obviously, if there's less corruption, but that's going to take time. If corruption clears, then people from abroad, there'll be more foreign direct investment, whereas at the moment, a lot of companies, a lot of financial companies are actually coming out. JP Morgan came out of India a few weeks ago, and other large firms who've been there for a while just don't see that the maths works. But it's not just corruption in the financial markets that occurs, or just day-to-day buying and selling. I fear that there's still corruption in cricket. I haven't watched one IPL game this year, but I've noticed some of the scores. And when I was in a city called Chandigarh a couple of weeks ago, we're watching the few of the snippets, the highlights, briefly, and some of the shots that were being played by members of a team owned by the esteemed Kingfisher owner, Vijay Mallya, his team, which have an amazing batting lineup. They're all out for 49. Now, something fishy went on there, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure there's a perfectly rational explanation. But
in the meantime,
Ronnie Chopra, market strategist at TJM Partners, thank you very much for your financial and your sports update.
Thank you.